I was setting my hymn. And I just overheard him giving counsel to this young preacher right by him, that if they call on you first. And I heard Brother Ralph tell him, you know, about the circumstances. So they just happened to call on me first. And so I took his advice, amen, and got ahead of my buddy, but I couldn't help it. That was just the freshest thing on my mind, you know, is what I overheard him tell this other preacher. But I'll tell you, Brother Ralph always taught us, be ready to die or preach. If you're called to preach, be ready to die or preach. Amen. And I think that's right, don't you? How many bit like to be ready to go when the Lord calls your number? Or how many bit like to be ready to do something for God if he don't call your number? Wasn't hardly as many amens, but it works together, don't it? Huh? Amen. Let's be ready. Be ready. And if he doesn't come, let's be about our Father's business. I want you to look at this. I don't know. This is a message in progress here tonight. It's come on my heart, and I don't know, but I want just to pull some things out here for you to think about. I want you to start reading with me. Verse 3 of this chapter, and we'll read a few verses. 2 Peter chapter 3. Now, I want you to watch with me here. Brother Bill Finley would say, watch this. Amen. It says, knowing this first. Knowing this first. That there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and say, where is the promise of his coming? And then they say, for since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Now, it don't take a theologian to realize that everything has not continued as they were from creation. Did they forget about the flood? Did they forget about Sodom and Gomorrah? Did they forget about all the happenings between? They weren't right, were they? Huh? All things haven't continued as they were since creation. Nothing's happening, they said. Where is, you know, even the lost people knew there was a promise of his coming. Amen. And you know, brother and sister, and y'all, I love you, but the church folk almost have acted like they forgot that there is a promise of his coming. I want you to look at this with me. We're going on down. For the Bible said, for this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire, against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing. Now, notice how he's saying this. He says this first, in the first verse I read to you, knowing this first. And now he's saying, but this one thing, don't be ignorant of this one thing. Don't let, amen, oh hallelujah, I wish you could feel what I'm feeling. Don't let the fact that it looks like all things remain as they were, don't let that fool you. Because that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years. Now that doesn't mean that one day is 1,000. That if you want to count, you just say 1,000. No, it's just what he's saying is one a day to God is not like a day to you and I. A day could be 1,000. One day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. So he said, don't let your finite human mind get in the wrong perspective, and you get discouraged and downhearted and thinking that, hey, look, God promised he was coming, and look at all of this. Look here, everything's like it was. Have you learned anything from history, man? Are you ignorant of this? Don't you remember how the flood came and destroyed the earth? And now, even right now, while you're sitting here under the sound of my voice, all that you see is only being held together by the Word of God, reserved. Amen. You ever go in a place and you go to sit down, and they got a sign on the chair, on the table, reserved, or go to a picnic shelter, reserved. This is going to stay just like it is until the party that is supposed to come comes and takes this place. Amen. That's what's happening to what we're seeing right here in our world today. Amen. You say, I don't understand why things are like they are. Number one, amen, he said, I want you to know that scoffers will come in the last day saying, where is the promise of his coming? Amen. But oh, don't be ignorant of this one thing. A day to the Lord is as a thousand years. His ways are high above our ways. But you can rest assured one thing. Amen. I'm getting ready to read. Listen to this. The Lord, listen, verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's my text scripture tonight, if I'd have a text tonight. I got one. You may not know it when I get done. There's one here. There's three things. You might ask yourself the question with the scoffers. What is he waiting on? What is he waiting on? There's three things in this verse. And I know you may not see it, but there's three things in this verse that he's waiting on. Amen. How many believes with me tonight? Amen. Now I want you to notice this. Verse 10. And then we're going to go back. The day of the Lord will come. Did you get that, church? Hey, y'all not going to quit me tonight, are you? Huh? Now I want you to listen to this preacher tonight. The day of the Lord will come. You say, well, I've been waiting all this time and I've heard about the coming of the Lord. Where is the promise of his coming? Where is the fulfillment of the promise of his coming? Don't be ignorant of this one thing. God's clock is not wound like your clock. Amen. God will come. He that shall come will come. Amen. Oh, say with me. There's something holding him back. There's something that he's waiting on. There's something, amen, that a dispensation. I know there's an appointed time. And it's going to come. But why has that time been so long in the future? Why? What is God waiting on tonight? Whoo, praise God. I know this ain't much, and I'm feeling as good as if I was preaching. That's right. I want you to look at this. The day of the Lord will come, and here's a little of the circumstance. As a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. The earth also and the works therein will be burned up. Seeing that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be? Listen now, in all holy conversation and godliness. Now, here, there is a loophole in living for God. You don't have to live godly if this is not going to happen. You don't have to live holy. You can go to a liberal church, a worldly church. You can look like Jezebel or Ahab or Jehoshaphat or whoever you want to look like. And I want to tell you, and if he ain't coming, it don't matter. Well, I just love y'all right now. I said, if he ain't coming, if you're part of the scoffing crowd, if you're part of the ignorant crowd that has forgot, amen, that that the history and how, brother, when God told Noah, amen, and said, my spirit will not always strive with man. And brother, 120 years later, amen, his spirit quit striving, and he destroyed every living creature upon the face of the earth, amen. But the ones that was in that ark, amen, they probably told Noah, amen, it ain't going to happen. And I heard, and I don't know where I heard on the black radio station the other day. I don't know if some of y'all listen to that. I like to have a copy of it. But they're singing this song, and this black preacher was doing a little, you know how they do, they can talk a song better than I can sing one. And he got to talking, and he said, and he got to talking about Noah and the ark, and he said, Noah was hammering away, and kept on hammering, and folks were saying, hey man, what are you doing up here, Noah? And he says, I'm building an ark. All the way up here, and the water's way down there. Come on now. You know what that was? That was a scoffer. Woo! Feel the Holy Ghost here. I've seen people look at me, and they say, what are you doing, Randy? I'm building an ark. All the way up here, and the water's way down there. But God told me, listen to me now. You're building a boat? Amen. Come on now. I'm telling you, God has told us to prepare an ark for the saving of our house. Now, if you don't believe it, amen, then praise God. If it ain't going to happen, then it don't really matter. But if it's going to happen, then the Bible says there's some way we ought to live. Amen. In all holy conversation and godliness. Hallelujah. Don't give me no preacher. Don't send me out no flowery tongued, sugar coated preacher. Right. Tell me I can live like the devil. Right. I can have this world and Jesus too. Nuh-uh. Brother, he's getting ready to, amen, talk me out on the edge of the cliff. Amen, and the trumpet will sound and leave this boy behind. I'm going to tell you, I believe Jesus is coming. Hallelujah. And I'll tell you, he's waiting on something, and I'm going to tell you what it is. Hallelujah. What is he waiting on? Verse 9 tells us. First, it says the Lord's not slack concerning his promise as men count slackness. Yes, he's waiting, but he ain't waiting like you think. He's been slack, but not as men count slackness. Brother, he's got an appointed time, and he set it out there. And I'll tell you what, look at this right here. Listen to me now. And I want you holiness people to get this. Without this, if you've got holiness without this, you're probably as mean as a snake. Hallelujah. What do you mean? Listen to this. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, but is long-suffering. Now that attribute of God tells us what he's waiting on. His judgment, it is holy. He's the only one that can judge. Our lesson in a few Sundays, I've already jumped ahead and been looking at that. Judge not in chapter 7 of Matthew. And a lot of people think that means just don't, you're going to have no discernment over an individual's life where it bears fruit or not. That's what it's talking about. It's talking about don't condemn anyone with final judgment. Amen. Because that is in the hands of God. Can somebody say amen? You don't know what a person's heart looks like because you can't see. You might even judge someone right when they're not right. Come on now. So we're going to leave that up to God. But I want to tell you this right here. God is a God of judge. He is a judge. He is a fierce God and a fearful God. Amen. But I'll tell you what's holding God back here tonight is long suffering. Praise God. And I want to tell you, you have not really even, I'll tell you, I know as a Christian, we have the divine nature of Christ in our heart. Amen. If you have not the Spirit of Christ, you are none of His. I know you have the Spirit of Christ. You are not Christ. You say, well,
boy, that's that, well, some preachers need to hear that. You're not Christ. Amen. But you have the Spirit of Christ in you. Amen. And if you have the Spirit of Christ in you, then you realize that He is long-suffering. But there's no way, amen, that us in our finite mind can understand just how long the long-suffering is in long-suffering. Somebody say amen. Woo, I feel the Holy Ghost in here. Amen. I tell you what, we don't need to give up short of the goal. And God, amen, there's three things I'm getting ready to give them to you, and I'll be done. Amen. But His long suffering. Amen. Watch that next word. It's two parts. I want you to say the first part of it. What? Two words. Two letters. One little word. It's what God's waiting on. What's He waiting on? Us. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost. Ooh, matter of fact, I'm waiting on some of us too. Huh? What are we waiting on? He's waiting on being long-suffering. He's given us time to get ready. He's given us time, amen, to be what He wants us to be. He's given us time to win our family to the Lord. Woo! Come on, Brother Jeremy, help me preach our message here. Amen. He told me he preached this morning. What was it he told Lot? Amen. Is there here any besides? Do you have any here beside? Amen. Brother, he'd already told Abraham, I'm going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. Abraham prayed his heart out, Brother Zane, like you've done for your boys. I hope Michael, amen, gets under conviction tonight. He can't sleep. Amen. Come on, set his bed on fire. Amen. I want to tell you, amen, listen, God went to that city and told Lot, and Lot had compromised. Righteous Lot had went against his principles and against his convictions, amen, and was in a mess, and had led his children into a mess. But I'll tell you what a long-suffering God did, amen, when Abraham said, will you save this city for 10 righteous people? Somebody help this preacher. God said, I'll save the whole city if 10 righteous people are in there. Amen. What's God waiting on? Amen. He said, come on, Lot, and make haste, for God cannot destroy this city until you get out of it. That's what he said. He took him by the hand and he drug him out of the city. Amen. Because his judgment, amen, couldn't fall. Amen. Until Lot was in a safe place. He's waiting on us to get ready to meet him. Hallelujah. He's waiting on us. Now wait, I'm going to preach this a little more. There's something else he's waiting on. He's waiting on us. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost. You know something? That man asked Jesus, Jesus asked that man, will thou be made whole? You know? That really sounds like an unnecessary question, doesn't it? Here's a man of 38 years that come down to that pool. But you know, the Lord knew more than we know. And there's some of you sitting here that if I take inventory and say, would you like to be made whole? Oh, yeah, brother. Oh, but we don't act like it sometimes. Huh? That's right. We don't act like it sometimes. Praise God. But we need to wait. Listen. God, if He can do something with us, then He'll do something for us. Somebody say amen. I want to preach to you just a little. I want you to notice something else. He's waiting on us. Amen. You say, well, who are you talking about? I'm getting ready to preach. Who's he waiting on? I'm getting ready to tell you. What's that next word I want to preach on? Amen. He is not willing that. What's that next word? Any. Praise God. The Lord is waiting on a revival before, amen, He comes back with judgment upon this earth. You say, I don't believe it. Well, it doesn't matter. Amen. He's waiting. He's tarrying. His time has been extended. Amen. He's gave us that period of grace, Brother Zane. And He intends for people to get right with God. I'll tell you what His will is for King Mountain. His will is for us. Amen. Us. Amen. But His long-suffering is toward us. Woo! I feel the Holy Ghost. He wants us. going to save any. You say, well, I wish I could preach to you tonight. Amen. I know I told you this is a message in progress. Amen. But any, it doesn't have to be, amen, a Webb or a Deal or a Smith or a Jones. Amen. Whosoever will, amen, let him come. Amen. He's waiting on anybody, amen, to get right with God. He is waiting on somebody to reach out, amen, out there somewhere. Oh, somebody say amen. Brother, listen. Amen. He is tearing. It's coming. There is a deadline. There is a day appointed. But his long suffering is to us and to any that'll get right with God.
And then he says, he is not willing that any should perish. I want you to tell me tonight, church, who you'd put in hell if you had the power.
I know that the death penalty in the Bible was used over and over and over and over again. And it is probably a concept that in one sense is acceptable in a horrible sense. But I want to tell you how I feel. I sure wouldn't want to be the one that pulled the plug that sent somebody into hell.
Are you listening to me? I mean, I really wouldn't do it. I would refuse to do it, Greg. Amen. But I hope you don't think I'm just a weak-kneed liberal here. But I'll tell you, when you think about hell, and you know men are going to go there. Amen. Men are going to go there, and they're going to put their self in there. I understand all that. I realize that. But I'll tell you what, the Lord Jesus. Amen. I'll tell you what, the Lord Jesus, you might say, what is he waiting on? He's waiting on us or any to keep them. He's not willing. It's not his will that any should perish. Now, what's that next word? All. He's waiting on a revival. I don't mean to bore you. He is waiting on a revival that will stir us or any or all. That all should come to what? Join the church? That all would come to our 4th of July picnic? That all would pat us on the back and tell us how they respect our convictions? That all would come to repentance. Praise God. What's he waiting on tonight? That's what he's waiting on. That's what he's waiting on. I thought of this tonight. Praise God. I wonder, we don't know this time, the time period, when the prodigal son left home and when he come back. How long would you think? I know young people. How long it would take them to spend your inheritance? Not very long. But he went into a far country and he spent it on riotous living until he was flat broke. But he's like most young people. They don't want to go home and hear dad say, I told you so. So they hired on with a citizen of the country. And the only job that he could get, feeding hogs. And he got so hungry down there, I don't know how long it took. I don't know how much havoc he left behind him. But there's one figure I want you to look at tonight, and then I'm going to close. But there was a daddy home during all that time. And that dad, praise God, his whole life was altered by that boy's departure. He was a hard worker. Amen. And he had a prosperous business and farm and plantation or whatever you want to call it. But no doubt the people noticed this man. He had a ritual he went through. Every morning he'd go out by that old gate and he'd look down that gate and out that lane. I don't know how many months it was, but it changed his whole habits. He'd go out and probably a little bit, and probably the workers and the elder brother would say, hey man, where's your dad at today? Well, he sent me down here to get this job going. He's at the usual place. Where's he at? He's up there by the gate looking down the road. Oh, help me preach now. The elder brother, which represented the Jewish Pharisaical nation, they give up on him long ago. Matter of fact, they not only looked for him, they got bitter when he finally showed up. Huh? But there was a father standing looking. And the Bible said when he was yet a great way off. Huh? And I'll tell you, I know how fathers are, Brother Darrell. As they get older, their vision's not the best. And I doubt if they had any kind of help. But there was something this man in his years could still see. And that was the form of his son coming up that road. I hope y'all stay with me. I'm not done preaching. I know I haven't got you yet, but I'm not done preaching. I'm telling you what. Amen. The Lord is waiting. What's he waiting on? He is waiting for that one to come home. Amen. That we've been praying for. You say, you mean to tell me? Read your Bible right there. Amen. When Peter explained to these scoffers what the holdup was, he said, look, he is holding things up for us. His long suffering for usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all, amen, shall come to repentance. What was it holding up the fire off of Sodom and Gomorrah? What was it holding up, amen, the 100+ years that Noah kept hammering on that ark? Amen. I really don't think, amen, that 100 years it took him to build that ark. I believe every nail was grace. Amen. And I don't know, amen, Noah might have thought about what was coming, Brother Charlie. And he said, I believe I'll just put another nail in this. I believe I'll just put another board here. I believe I'll take this off and do this again. Amen. God would move on him in 100+ years. God said, not always, but brother, we're in that period of grace right now when the hammers are ringing and God's getting ready and his long suffering. We ought to be about our Father's business. Amen. For our own sake and the sake of anybody and the sake of all mankind. Amen. I know we can say they're going to get what's coming to them, but brother, God's not going to laugh. Amen. God weeps. Amen. The Son of God weeps over Jerusalem when he thinks about who they used to be and where they're going. Hallelujah. How about this church right here? How about this little church right here? Huh? Is he waiting on us to get busy? Is he waiting on us to reach out for somebody perishing? Is he waiting on you to get ready yourself? Huh? Would you stand with me tonight? That next verse said, he will come. He will come. You say, well, brother, I've lived a long time. What is Brother Zane, what is our life compared to eternity? It's not even a grain of sand on the shore. It's not even a drop of water in the whole ocean. Our little lifespan to eternity. Brother, if I was here tonight and I wasn't right with God, I would realize the mercy of the Lord as he's waited on you all this time to get ready. If he'd take you out of here right tonight, you could not say, God, you didn't give me enough time to get ready. There ain't nobody in here could say it. He's let the world mock him, scoff him, and say he's not kept his word. He's let them rebuke him and reproach him, all because he wanted to give you time to get right with God. I'd like to have a revival for us, for any, and for all. All of Buchanan County, I'd love to see them get saved. Paul said, my heart's desires and prayer for Israel is that they might be saved. Are you in here tonight and you're not sure if you're ready to meet God? Huh? You're not sure if you're ready to meet God? Would you bow your heads with me just a minute? Is there any here that would fit in any of these categories? You realize the Lord's waiting on you? He won't wait forever, but He's waiting now. He's going to come, and when He does, it's going to fix a lot of bad things. But if you're not ready, it's not going to fix it for you. It's going to be the worst day in eternity for you. If He comes tonight or calls you out, if something, that little air passageway that He's designed to give you oxygen, if that gets blocked for very long at all, you're gone. We'll sing on the hill about you, and that'll be the end of it. You go up there and up this road, and I'm not trying to be gory, but I want you to know, you know we're in the economy age, and we try to get as small a vehicle as we can so we can buy gas, but we don't realize that little old metal is probably not, you don't have just a few inches between you and whatever's on the outside, and one bad turn, and you're out of here. You may have paid all your bills and talked sweet to your family and everybody love you and they'll cry on a hill. But listen, if you're not right to meet God, then it's going to be an eternity of sorrow. He's been very patient and His mercy is everlasting. But there's coming a deadline. There's coming a deadline. Can the church say amen? Are you in this house tonight? Maybe you're in that category. He's waiting on you. Maybe He's waiting on you to pray another prayer. Maybe He's waiting on you to run through the streets and get your daughters, sons-in-laws, and sons and try to persuade them. We got to get out of this place. What was it you preached, Brother Jeremy? What was the title? Get out while you can. I remember, I'm going to let you come and pray, but I remember coming, going up the road one day, and a truck wrecked on the other side of the four lane, coming the other way. A little old truck flipped over on its top and scooted down the road on its top. And I mean, smoke went to bowling, and I pulled off the side of the road and jumped over the guardrail and headed down there. And I didn't know what I was going to do, but that truck was flattened in, and somebody was in there, and that truck was smoking, burning, looked like to me. Smoke was just sitting up. Before I could get to that truck, there was a man in that truck. He probably weighed 250 pounds. And he was in a compact truck. And the front of that cab was crushed in. The windshield was collapsed apart. And that man, that little window in the back, that 250-pound man came out that window. Before I could get to him and say, "Can I help you?" He had done kicked that little window out and had climbed through that little window, and he was bleeding like a stuck hog. But he was okay, but he just about killed himself getting out that little hole in them little shards of glass and came through there. What was he doing? He was getting out while he could. Because he knew if that kept going, and you've never been there. I remember me and Brother David years ago in that van, and when I woke up and smelled that smoke and looked back and seen the flame, and I screamed to Brother David, "We're on fire." And he pulled off, and we jumped out and swung the doors open, got his little kids out of that within 30 or 40 seconds. And we had no longer got them out of that van till it was engulfed in flames. Whoop! Gone. Melted down, wheels, tires blowed out, everything gone. Within 2 minutes, it was completely gone. Nothing but charred metal and smoke and fire. I'm going to tell you, you'll be in the flame quicker than that if you die without God. What's He waiting on? He's waiting on you. His long-suffering grace and mercy is waiting on you. Now I want to ask you the question, what are you waiting on? Father, we ask You to help these people here tonight, and those that aren't right with God, and those that have been planning on getting closer to God, planning on getting spiritual, planning on getting closer to You, to ask forgiveness. Now's the time. You gave us ample time. It's up to us now. Lord, we ask you to deal with those that are here tonight are lost. And those that are, Lord, weak and worldly and carnal and disinterested in God. He is coming. Amen. Does anybody feel like praying? Anybody? Saves? Saint? Anybody? I'm going to pray a few more minutes.